I want you to note something. In being filled to the measure that is specified in Ephesians 3, notice with me that it says, in the context of grasping how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that there it says that you may know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, please go there with me, because you and I don't just need to be full. We need to be full of somebody's love. Every single one of us has an innate, overwhelming, not just desire to be loved, but a need to be loved. You are never at greater risk, nor am I, than when we are not feeling properly loved. We will look for that. You want to talk about an empty vessel? If we do not go to God to get that cup filled, let me tell you, we're going to get ourselves into a tremendous amount of trouble, because there is something very real inside of each one of us that not only needs to be full, I've got to know somebody totally loves me. And that I cannot change that no matter what I do. That it's just there and it's just huge. And it's enough to go to the depths of my need. It's enough. It's long enough. It's wide enough. It's high enough. I gotta know that. You know, many of these in this studio audience come from around the same areas where I live. And so they'd be able to testify that we do a lot of sweet talk where we're from. I go to all sorts of areas of the country and certainly in other nations where everybody doesn't just sweet talk. They don't call each other darling. But we sort of do. Not all of us, but most of us. We're sweet talkers. It's just the way we are. I remember when a good friend of mine one time said, a dear friend of mine, an artist, a wonderful singer that said to me, she's from New York City. She said, Beth, I need your advice and I do not need your sweet baloney. It was just so, I said, it's not baloney. It's just that we find a really sweet way to say it where I'm from. Yes. Know what I'm talking about? Yes. You have no idea the letters I've received through the years that have said, you are the only one that calls me sweetheart. Oh. I tell you, it just almost brings me to tears every time. At least the first 20 times I saw it, it made me just sob. You're the only one that says, beloved. You're the only one that says, you sweet thing. I want you to know something. Christ's affection for you is such, he sweet talks you. You'd be red-faced if you could hear it. Red-faced. It's good. It's full. And you need to know it. So you are not just a gaping canyon looking to fill it. It'll be the death of you. What the Word of God is teaching us is how to come to Him. That before He fills me up, I got to empty myself out. That's when I'm going to come and I'm going to bring in my confessions of sin. I always have something to confess. And I'm going to bring Him my concerns. I'm going to tell on people that have hurt my feelings. You understand what I'm saying? I do all of those things. And then after I just empty myself out before Him, I want to ask Him, Lord, you come and you just overtake me. See, the filling of the Spirit is not about a spiritual gift. It's about a state of being full. But with that fullness comes power. And you never know what you're going to do with that kind of power. Something beyond you. I want to tell you a story that I told many, many years ago that remains dear to me, particularly because people bring it back up to me over and over again. It's probably the thing I've been asked about as much as anything regarding stories and Bible studies along the years. But it's such a statement in my own life and such a memory of God overtaking me and enabling me to do something I couldn't do. You have no idea how dangerous you would be if you would live filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ. I was headed off to the east side of the country to Asheville, North Carolina to speak. And I had left fairly early that morning, right after I'd gotten the girls on the bus. They were probably, early junior high school at that time, my oldest, and my youngest probably coming out of elementary school. And I'd had a terrific morning with the Lord. When you're in the throes of that kind of parenting, boy, it's catch where catch can. But that particular day, they had gone off early to school, and I had had all morning just to soak him in. And I'd been memorizing scripture, and I remember very clearly I was memorizing John chapter 1 at the time. And I was on the airplane, and the way I do my memory work is I have to say it. I read it, then I say it out loud, and I read it, and then I say it out loud, and I read it, and then I look away from it and see if I can say it. So I'd done it over and over again until I got stumped on a passage, and the guy sitting next to me completed my sentence, and he was not happy about it. He had no desire to memorize John chapter 1. None. So I got to my layover, and I was about to go. I was going into a small town. I was going into Asheville. So I was about to move to a prop. So I was having to go to a part of the airport that was just one large room where you went off into several different halls down to the smaller plane. So it was for a small airport and a small part of the terminal. It was packed, absolutely packed. And our chairs were all facing one another. So there was a set of chairs that were against the wall, and then I was in the one straight across from them. And I was totally immersed in my memory work. The only reason I'm telling you this is I was filled to the measure. I'd had a wonderful morning with him. And I was filled to the measure. So I was sitting Indian style in my jeans and sweater, and I had my Bible open on my lap, and I was just going back over it and back over. Boy, I was getting it. I was all the way down to about verse 18, and boy, it was coming to me. I was having a great time. And suddenly I see that the eyes of all the people against the wall are watching something behind me. And it was like a movie because all of their eyes shifted this way, this big around, and they began to come this way. Whatever it was going right behind me. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I were looking. Are you like that? I'm a people watcher. I was so desperately thought, what are they looking at? And I can't wait to look for myself until it comes all the way around here. And then suddenly in my peripheral vision, I begin to see a little of it. And it is a flight hostess that is pushing up a man in a wheelchair right to the end of my row. And there's nobody between us. And this place is packed. So I want you to know that Jesus went to a significant amount of trouble to make sure that I saw this man. So I wait until everybody else gets more polite, and then I go. And when I look over at him, he was the oddest sight. He looked like he was not one iota less than about 129, and I'm not kidding. This was the oldest looking person I had ever seen. Not only that, but he had gray hair that was down to here. His fingernails were every bit as long as mine. He was clean. But it's just an odd sight. His pants, it looked like that he had obviously lost a lot of weight because they were just bunched up. I'll never forget how he looked. And he was just, his head was just hanging down like this. And his hair was in strings like this. Huh? Whoa, it's one of those times where you think, that is Howard Hughes. That has got to be Howard Hughes. You think any moment I'm going to have an Elvis sighting. You know, it's that kind of thing. That this is what's happening in the airport today. And so I can hardly take my gaze off of him. So I try to get my face back down my Bible, go back to my memory work. This is how much God thinks of us just memorizing scripture, but not do anything with it. Because the Lord begins to compel my heart. Overwhelms me. Well, I have learned, I've walked with him a long time. I knew by now, that is scary. That God is up to something when he is overwhelming your heart like that. And I just thought, oh, please, God, no. Oh, please, please, God, no. Because I'm already knowing he wants me to witness to this man. And so I say to myself in my spirit, now I'm not talking out loud, but in my spirit, I'm talking to God silently, and I'm saying, I'm sure my mouth is going, because I say to him, do not make me witness to that man. Put me on the same plane with him. I'll happily witness to him on the same plane. But do I have to do it now? Because I had that, whoa, that now kind of feeling that gets in your soul, where it's like the Holy Spirit in you is standing up and going, and you're going like this with him. That horrible feeling when you know something is about to happen that you would not have chosen to do. And now I'm going to tell you, as clear as I'm talking to you now, the Lord spoke to my heart. The very few times I've ever heard God be this articulate with me. And I'm telling you word for word, these words came into my heart. I'm not asking you to witness to him. I'm asking you to brush his hair. Lord,
that man needs witnessing to. What good is combed hair if a man is lost? And I can tell, Lord, that man, I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your girl. Me. I got the Roman road, amen? Still in my heart. I mean, we are just having a fight. I didn't tell you to witness to him. I told you to brush his hair. I thought, I don't have a hairbrush. You know, I fixed my hair. And then it's done for the day until I unfix it. And the brush is in the luggage. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I said, I don't even have a hairbrush. And the Lord's still compelling me. So I get up, walk over, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even have a hairbrush. You know, I was supposed to be thoroughly equipped unto all good work. I do not have a hairbrush. I walk over, I get right in front of the man. His head's hanging down like this. I lean down like this. I said, sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? And he says, what? A little louder. Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? He goes, little lady, if you want me to hear you, you're going to have to speak up. Sir, may I have the privilege of brushing your hair? To which everyone in the airport goes, whoa. And I can feel every eye just piercing me just like this. And I'm just humiliated. And he looks at me and says, if you want to. And I'm going, I don't. I don't want to. I went, yes, sir, I would absolutely love to. But my problem is, I don't have a hairbrush. He says, I have a hairbrush. He said, it's back in my bag. So I go all the way around the wheelchair. His bag is on the back of it like this. I get down on my knees. I unzip this little duffel bag, and I start pulling out his clean undershirts, his pair of pajamas, all sorts of things. And as I do, I cannot tell you the feeling that overwhelms me. I'm just flooded with the love of Christ. I found the hairbrush. It's one of those real old bristle ones. Doesn't look anything like our brushes do now. And when I stood up, I began then. I went over to him and I thought, you know, to tell you the truth, this is what I'm good at. I had two girls. I'm good at this. So I just came and I just began to brush his hair, and it was so matted that I couldn't even believe it. And so I had to get down to the very bottom of it, and I just brushed the very ends of it. And then just a little bit, it took us forever. And I want to tell you, I was oblivious to everybody else in that room. At that point, nobody else was alive to me. I just kept brushing and kept brushing until that hair was as smooth as silk. I went back around to him and squatted down in front of him, put my hands on his hands. They were on his knees. His head was just like that. And I said, sir, do you know Jesus? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, of course you do. That figures. I wanted to share the gospel with you. But no, you need your hair brushed. And he told me that his old bride of so many years would not marry him until he came to know Christ. And he said, I was just sitting here thinking to myself, and he wept. I'm about to cry telling you. He said, I was just sitting here thinking what a mess I must be for my bride. He'd been in that hospital for months, and he was about to return back home. Nobody had cut his hair or anything. I don't know how long it had been since he'd been brushed. That hostess came and put him on the plane, and she came back out. And she was crying, I mean hard. And she said, what made you do that? And I said, Jesus, he's the bossiest thing. She did need Christ, so I did get to talk to her. He knows what our need is. Man didn't need witnessing to, he needed his hair brushed. When we are filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ, you sweet thing, you cannot believe the needs we can meet. We can do what we know we can. And while you're doing it, you're just thinking, that ain't me. That really ain't me.